Let us pray. Gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, the thoughts, feelings, and meditation of all our hearts, that we might receive your gift of freedom and learn to dance our dance in your light. In Jesus' name. Amen. When was the last time you danced? Was it on a formal occasion? Maybe everyone expected it of you, so you had to get out there no matter how you felt. It's a father-daughter dance at a wedding. When was the last time that you danced? Was a time when you were just spontaneously walking along on a summer day and suddenly you realized you were no longer walking, but you were gliding, you were moving, you were filled with the pleasantness of that day, and you were dancing. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever allowed it to happen? You know, as adults, we go around feeling so many eyes are upon us. I do art therapy in my grief group. And I don't tell people I'm doing it, but you all know now. Because I'm afraid they won't come to that session. And at the beginning of the session, I asked the group, who here draws? And of course, almost always, no one puts up their hand. And then I asked them, all right, now if I was in front of a kindergarten class and asked them, who here draws, how many would put up their hands? And they nod, everyone. And I said, so what I want you to do now is to tap into the freedom of your childhood. But even our children feel a little self-conscious sometimes about drawing or dancing, as we've heard from Olivia. It's amazing how we go through life feeling so many eyes are upon us, so many constraints surround us, so many expectations cloud over us and bear us down that we do not have the freedom to let go on a summer day or feel what we're feeling. And how sad that is, because, as I say, dance is expression through movement. And very much in the same way that we feel hindered in being able to move and express, we feel hindered in our words to be able to express. We worry about telling our stories, where we happen to be at this time in our life, whether we're struggling with something or grieving something or questioning something. We're worried that if we ever expressed ourselves, it wouldn't be appropriate, or it wouldn't be acceptable, or it might even be subject to ridicule. We feel so much the intense glare of critical eyes. You know, they say that, and this is a study by sociologists and psychiatrists in the United States, as they're confronted with skyrocketing suicide rates, that one of the causes is actually people trying to live up to the images that other people project on their Facebook pages. It's created a whole new sense of inadequacy. And we know that it's not only as you compare yourself with those perfect Christmas letter lives that are on Facebook, but as you also try to generate your own images on Facebook to match them. We do not dance our hearts. We try to live up to others' expectations and mold our movements to what we think the world wants of us. But there are things that free us. You know, on our Alpha program, we have a day away, which is a day we focus on the Holy Spirit, or in other words, learning to live in the presence of God's love. It's not an easy thing for us to do because we learn to live through this world in the presence of criticism and harshness and, as I say, the expectations of a world which doesn't always have your best interests at heart. And on the Alpha Day Away, we want people to learn to live in the freedom of God's love, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so I like to begin those sessions when they arrive with a song which seems to get everyone dancing. Maybe you know it.
And I could go to space with the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do. Here come bad news, talking this and that.
Ended in church. People walk in and they're a little wary about what is this Holy Spirit thing, and they hear Pharrell Williams and they just start dancing. It's nice when you have a way to unlock yourself and to feel. My sermon title comes from a country western song, 1987, Come From the Heart. It's really a song about relationship. It's interesting, you know, people, if you go on online and try and find where that saying, dance as if no one's watching you, it's attributed to Mark Twain and to Satchel Paige. I expect it's attributed to Winston Churchill and Lincoln and St. Francis of Assisi as well. But it actually comes from that 1987 country western song by Susan Lee and Richard, can't remember Richard's last name. It's not that old. But I love this. Its words are a little different. Over time, they've become transmuted to this. Sing like no one's listening. Love like you've never been hurt. Dance like nobody's watching, and live like it's heaven on earth. But how hard that is to do. As I say, when people hear this, they at first think it's really about self-expression. But as I said, that song isn't about self-expression, it's about relationship. It's about being in love. And it's good to remember that to dance like nobody's watching doesn't necessarily mean to dance alone. To dance like no one's watching is to be able to dance in the presence of someone in whom you feel free to be yourself, to express who you are at this time and in this place. To dance like no one's watching doesn't mean you're alone. It means you're in the presence of someone in whom you can lose yourself and be free. David knows what that feels like, and I'm going to show you a little clip from the movie David, starring Richard Gere. Now, Hollywood, as usual, gets this a little wrong. I mean, you can criticize Richard Gere's dancing if you like. I think it's okay. I think it's a good kind of interpretation of the passage from 2 Samuel that Giovanni read for us. I also like the glimpse of Michael looking with scorn upon him, and that happens toward the end of this little clip I'm going to show. But one thing, it looks like Richard Gere is dancing downhill, and if you've ever been to Jerusalem, he would have to go uphill. And I think they're being easy on him on a hot day, dancing in a hot climate. They let him dance downhill. So that's one little historical inaccuracy that we'll let Richard get away with, because he's kind of giving it his all, just as we're told David did.
Like David
in my heart.
I will dance like David danced.
The spirit of the Lord was in my heart.
I will dance like David danced. I will dance, I'll dance like David danced. I will dance, I'll dance like David danced.
Michael was not impressed, but I think he was doing a good job. David danced with all his might, we're told in 2 Samuel. Here's another artistic rendering by a modern Jewish artist, and there is David in all his glory, and you see maybe his linen ephod is actually drifting around there as he dances. The other thing that Hollywood got wrong about that clip is that the story from 2 Samuel 6, well, David is certainly an important figure in it. The dominant figure of that story is the presence of God. The whole of chapter 6, and our lectionary authors chose to leave out a section dealing with that puzzling death of Uzziah, is about this Ark of God, which is God's own presence returning to Jerusalem. And it is that presence that frees David to dance. It is the presence of God as the subject and main actor of not only 2 Samuel 6, but of the entire Old Testament, and of course the New Testament, as Jesus moves in his birth of Bethlehem to dance with us through his life to a cross and then out of an empty grave. It is the presence of God that frees us to dance. It frees us to know that our stories are important to God. And whether it be a dance of anger, or a dance of grief, or a dance of justice, or a dance of hope, in God's presence, we are invited to dance. a pastoral psychologist named Harriet Lerner who broke new ground back in the 1980s when she wrote a book called The Dance of Anger. It was a book written for women because women were never given permission to have anger. For men, that's almost the only thing they were given permission for. They weren't given permission to cry or to feel sorry or to express depression. But women weren't allowed to have anger, so Harriet Lerner wrote her book. And then she followed it with a succession of books, The Dance of Intimacy, The Dance of Connection, The Mother Dance. All the ways that we have of dancing into the world, of expressing who we are and what our stories are in all their complexity. It's important to know that in the presence of the love of God, we are called to dance. I don't have any clips of the dance of Salome before Herod. Interesting, I noted in the biblical clip that I copied from the computer, it had the wrong name. It's Salome, not Herodias, who danced before Herod. It's sometimes called the Dance of the Seven Veils. I couldn't really show it in church. David was risque enough. But there was a young woman who was called to dance because of all the manipulative forces of her time and place. Her mother scheming to behead John the Baptist. Here's a little tighter version of that picture by Gustave Moreau. You see Salome dancing, and she has before her the vision of her goal, John the Baptist's severed head. It's an ugly kind of dance that many of us lead in this life, a dance imposed upon us by those who would threaten us. You see some people and how they negotiate, throwing out threats and lies and barbs to coerce people to do things they would not do. And here in Salome is depicted in different ways. This is her receiving John the Baptist's head, and this artist, Luini, has her looking down as if she is feeling guilty and unwell, realizing what she had done. She manipulated the drunken Herod at his birthday party at her mother's bequest to do something he did not want to do. How many of us dance to that kind of tune? How many of us use our skills to manipulate others rather than to grow in relationship and in our freedom? But we are invited today to freedom. You know, I love it at weddings when you watch that first dance of a couple. Now, some couples these days have spent a lot of time choreographing their dances. I don't know if you've been to one of those weddings where they break into a professional dance routine. And I give them credit for that. It's quite something. They've worked hard at it. But I really like the ones where the couples, and you can tell they don't really know how to dance, but they go out there and they kind of shuffle around, but they don't know anyone's watching. They're married. It's their first dance together. And they're dancing like no one is watching. It's only the two of them. Wherever you are, I would invite you to know that you are not alone. There is someone with you who longs to see your dance. longs to embrace you and hold you and secure you so that you know that your story of grief or your story of anger, your story of heartbreak or your story of joy is a story that is worth telling, sharing. And in fact, the stories of others are worth hearing and growing, that we may know life and know it abundantly. So dance like nobody's watching. Amen.